When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hey, here I am. It's Nikki Glaser. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. We are in Los Angeles today. Andrew is also here. He just arrived this morning. As I was pulling out of my driveway to go get Starbucks, I saw an SUV pull in behind me, and I go, what the fuck? Of all people to turn, like, cars to turn into a driveway and turn around, mine's got to be the one when I'm leaving. And then I was like, they're not moving. And then I was like, oh, Andrew's here early. He's supposed to land at 9:30, and he was here at 9:17. So, like, he landed real early. We'll hear about his flight, I'm sure, when he gets here. He is yo-yoing all over town. He has a yo-yo now,
Noah,
that he got in Long Island.
What?
They gave me a bunch of gifts. They gave me a huge brick because I sold out two shows, and you get a brick if you sell out. They just give you this heavy trash. Who called something heavy trash? Oh, that was Kyle Dunnigan called Nichols heavy trash. But yeah, they gave me a brick that I tried to bring home because it was like engraved. Like someone spent a lot of time either. Well, at first I thought someone actually engraved the brick like with their hands because it just seems like such a something in the 1800s. Yeah, it's like a bricksman, something like what's a cobbler would do or something like that. But it was not that, and it was probably just machine cut by a printer of some sort. But nonetheless, it meant something to me, and I was going to bring it home, and I gave it to Andrew to take because he was going back to St. Louis. I was going to LA, and I was like, will you please bring this brick home? We had an argument over how heavy a brick is. How heavy do you think a single brick is, Noah?
Maybe 3 or 4 pounds.
Good guess. Very close. It was 5 pounds. He He's going through security, and they would not let him bring it through because it was like a weapon. I guess what? It could be used as a weapon. But so couldn't anything then, like,
couldn't
honestly,
a luggage be used as a weapon in that
yeah.
sense?
Like, it could, yeah, luggage is heavy. I guess it would be harder to wield and hit over, like, hit a flight attendant in the face. I shouldn't even put that out there, but that's kind of what I pictured, unfortunately. Yeah, so my brick ended up just not making it through security. And I also got a yo-yo with this whole gift pack. And Andrew's really good at the yo-yo. Who knew?
Stop.
He's like good. He can do like around the world very easily. I'm not terrible at a yo-yo. You know what I'm really good at is a pogo stick. I'm impressive on a pogo stick. I like pogo sticks. I guess I practiced as a child. I came across one recently and really I surprised myself that I was pretty good at it. My dad was good at it too. It was very scary to watch him on it. Have you ever done a pogo stick?
No, I don't think I'm coordinated enough.
You could do it. You just, it seems like it's very hard, but it's not. Yeah, like, I always just think back on, like, child games. Like, yo-yos used to be, like,
the thing.
PlayStations, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, my God, you got a yo-yo? Like, what? A toy that could just waste hours of your life. And now we have TikTok. But yo-yos are pretty cool. I'm trying to think of any other, like, Cat's Cradle. Do you ever do that? Like, the string game?
Oh,
what did
yes,
you do as
yes.
a kid to pass the time?
Yeah, the Cat's
I'm like,
Cradle
I,
jump
acting
rope.
Like we were Amish or something. We had Nintendo and stuff.
I mean,
but
it was the 90s. It was yeah. like we were kids before the internet.
Skip it.
Skip it.
Skip were it. So cool.
Pogs.
Pogs. Yes.
Troll
I
dolls.
Really, I think I don't. What did you say?
Troll dolls. I used to collect troll
oh, I
dolls.
I love trolls. I mean, but what would we do with them? Would you ever play trolls like, I'm a troll? Like, or would you just like set them up and like fix their hair? Oh, the way they smelled. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My best friend and I used to collect them and we would just set up scenarios and stuff in different locations.
Yeah, playing dolls was kind of fun and Barbies and I liked playing school and I liked being a teacher. I never really liked to play house. Because I was always like, we're going to have to, like, if I have to, like, someone plays husband, you have to, like, kiss them and stuff. I always knew, like, house was, there was something that would have to be, like, sexual or, like, office. I don't know why. Even as a kid, I was like, this is a risky game we're playing. It takes one kid to be like, I dropped a pencil. I don't know what I was exposed to as a child that made me realize that that's where kids can get sexual too soon, I think. I remember Rachel used to tell a story. Rachel Feinstein used to tell a story of she would, like, her and her best friend would, like, hump each other and, like, play, you know, husband and wife. And they would just, like, hump each other. And it was her friend's idea, I guess, but she was just like, all right, I'm into it. And they got caught, and the teachers, like, it got through the school, and, like, all the parents, like, got involved, and they would have to lie about it so they could sneak it and, like, do it. It's just like, did you ever do anything like that when you were young where it was, like, a little bit sexual?
Yeah. I used to have a friend when I was really, really young. I was not even in America yet. And so I must have been, like, six.
Yeah.
And we used to, like, pretend we were dogs. And
that's cute and fun.
We would hump each other as dogs because we knew that dogs did that.
Did you know that what it was?
I don't think we could really wrap our mind around it. We just knew that that's like something that dogs do and that yes. we just had to do it if we were playing dogs.
I knew it was wrong because people would go like, stop that. Stop doing that to the dogs. So obviously it was something that was like bad. It's so interesting that we like how we pick up on what is not okay to talk about and what is. And like you make mistakes as a child by saying certain things and people are like, you don't say that. And you're like, but it's true. So what's the problem? Like, I don't know. I was thinking about, I'm about to, you know, do a comedy thing that I am about to talk about more. But, and I was thinking about how, you know, I still talk about sex on stage a lot and in my personal life and just like in everything I do, I'm kind of still known as like a sex comic and how shameful that can be and how like, you know, people say like, that's all you can talk about. It's just easy, whatever it is. And trying to come up with some kind of
opening bit that addresses it so that no one can say that anymore. Like, what's my perfect argument against people who say all female comics talk about is sex, without doing the argument that's like, for so long we were silenced about sex and now it's our turn? Because that argument's been made and people don't seem to actually think that's enough of an argument. Because people are like, it's been done. All they talk about. I'm like, female comics have not been around that long, you weirdos. Like, we've only been doing it since the 80s, really. And like, I know there were a few before that, but stand-up comedy is an art that's like fairly modern. And also, sex is changing constantly, so we got to keep still talking about it. It's not like it's all been done. And also, like, I was thinking about this argument, too. People are like, it's so easy. I hate anyone assuming that I'm taking an easy route, because that's how I feel accomplished, is if I'm, like, working hard. So when someone's like, you know, being a clean comic is hard. Being, you know, dirty is just, like, easier. I'm just like, but why should I do something that's harder for me? It is harder for me to write clean jokes. It is. But why would anyone want that from me? Why does anyone want me to do something that I'm not naturally good at? You know, like, I don't want Paul McCartney to Irish dance, you know? I'm sure he'd be fine at it because he has rhythm, but like, guitar for Paul McCartney is easy. You know, it came easy to him. Just like talking about sex comes easy to me. And by the way, I don't know that it's that easy. If it were that easy, I think a lot more people would do it. But people are so embarrassed to talk about sex and just talk about their, like, details of their sex lives on stage. Like, you can say that that female comics that talk freely and openly about sex are taking an easy route, then you do it if it's so easy. But you wouldn't do it because you're embarrassed, because your parents might hear it, or because your colleagues might hear it, and because you're shamed about what you do. So this whole concept that it's easy, it's not easy. Yes, the female comics that do it make it look easy, but it is easy for us, and that's our special talent. Like, swimming for Michael Phelps was easy. Yes, he worked so hard to be the best, but before that, he was probably pretty naturally good at it. And you wouldn't go, oh my God, it came naturally to him. He's taking the easy way out. He should do pole vaulting. Like, show us what you really got. Do something that's hard for you. So I'm trying to, like, wrap my head around, like, because the idea that it's just, being dirty is so easy and being clean is hard. You know what's hard to do? For clean comics, it's hard to be dirty because they're hiding. They're so ashamed of who they are. And a lot of clean comics are horrible people. Look at Bill Cosby, the quintessential clean comic. And, he's family friendly. Meanwhile, he's raping people backstage. So at least I'm not doing anything nefarious in my personal life. I'm putting it all out there. And I would say clean comics deserve a little bit more scrutiny and less praise of, like, they're clean. They're such good family men. It's like, what are you hiding? There are some people that just work in clean that are just clean, but there are some that are, like, so ashamed of who they are. They're going to be like, I'm a clean comic, and they're so proud of it. Those are the ones to look after.
Even if you think about, like, people in their personal life talking about sex, like having the birds and the bees conversation with their kids, that's hard. So I think talking about sex on stage is not easy at all, especially as a woman.
It's not, but for some reason, because it does come easy to me, I have the type of autism that makes it so I don't care that my parents have heard that I have done, you know, have had balls in my mouth. Like, I just don't care. It's not like I'm like, I love to let them know, and I love to. It's not my favorite thing to put out there, but I just, that the fact that my parents could know that I have sex does not bother me. And that bothers a lot. I would say that bothers most people. I was looking at a study to, like, kind of get an argument for this going. And I was thinking about, like, you know, I Googled, like, how often people think about sex. And you've heard that, like, men think about it every 7 seconds. And the data for that is a little hazy and, like, not really, that's not really true. And it's really hard to tell how many times people think about anything, because it's all self-reporting, and self-reporting leads to just, you know, erroneous data, because we just trust that people click the thing every time they think about sex. But I'm not aware of my thoughts all the time. You have to be very, you have to be very versed in meditation to constantly be aware of what you're thinking, because no one's aware of what they're thinking. People always think they are their thoughts. If you're aware of what you're thinking, like, I'm thinking about this, then you're meditating. And meditation's hard. So people going, oh, I'm thinking about sex right now. You don't even know how much you think about sex. But the thing is, people think about sex all the time. It's a motivator for so many things. And yet I was also reading people, like, it was like 60% of people talk to their best friends about their sex lives. I'm like, 40% of people don't talk about sex with their friends. What the fuck do you talk about? What is interesting to talk about to your best friend, someone that you trust, if you're not talking about sex and, like, your thoughts about it or the fact that you're not having it or whatever? Like, and maybe people are like, it just doesn't interest me. Okay, that's a different story altogether. But I feel like sex does interest most people and is something that's on our minds a lot. And you just keep that inside. That's so weird to me. So I just feel like I'm trying to come up with a airtight argument for all these people who say that female comics just talk about sex and, like, that's all we do. But it's like, then you do it. If it's so easy, then you do it. But you wouldn't, because the things you jerk off to make you feel like, if you had to actually look at what you jerk off to or what turns you on or what you sound like in bed or what you look like, the things that female comics do talk about when you ridicule us, you would never admit that to a crowd of people, ever. So don't act like what we're doing is easy. It's easy for us, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. Because, like I said, it's easy for Paul McCartney to sing and play guitar, but would you ever go, he shouldn't do that, it's so easy for him. He's taking the easy way out. And honestly, that's why I admire porn stars. It is easy for them. It seems easy for them to expose themselves on camera and to be naked and have sex. None of them seem that scared about it or, like, that nervous. I'm sure they are, but, like, when they get used to it, it seems so comfortable, and I marvel at that. Like, do you ever watch porn, Noah, and just go, how did they ever get the balls to do this? I think so many people don't even take that into consideration. They just go, that's so sad that they do that. It's like, oh, it's so sad. But really, I think it's extremely brave, and although it comes easy to them, I'm not like, oh my god, they're just, God, she could be a businesswoman instead, but she did this instead. No,
is a businesswoman.
Not every girl could do porn. You act like just because we all have bodies and we have sex, we could all do, if you're a hot girl, you could just do porn. No, you couldn't. It takes a certain level of comfort with who you are sexually to do porn, which not a lot of people have. And it should be admirable to do porn instead of this, like, thing that we all shame. I don't have a funny argument for it yet, but I'm going to keep working on it. But it just bugs me that I'm tired of being treated like that, you know, because I'm not a clean comic, I'm a worse comic, or because there's going to be, like, a press release about something I'm doing, and they asked me for a sentence to talk about, like, what my feelings about the thing. And I sent a really interesting one yesterday that was kind of coming after people that, you know, go after women like this. I mean, it's actually Amy's special, mostly sex stuff. I remember when she named her special, I think it was her first hour special with Comedy Central. They were like, they looked at the material, Comedy Central looked at the material and was like, hey, if you could do a little bit more race material, because it's, like, mostly sex stuff. And she was like, but if I just call it that, then no one can be mad about it. And so she was like, I'll just call it mostly sex stuff, so no one can be like, oh, well, she talks about sex. It's like, yes, that's what you're getting. So I'm trying to come up with some kind of disclaimer at the top of whatever I'm about to shoot that says, like, don't have any expectations otherwise. Like, this is what I do, and this is what I like to do. And if you're watching this with your grandmother and you're like, I was watching this with my mom, God, that was awkward, like, that's your fault. Like, do a little research. I don't know why I'm so angry. I'm really not. It's a beautiful day in Los Angeles. Andrew is here. Let's get him in here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, yo.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
We cats out of the bags?
Yeah, we're in LA. Is that not supposed to be...
We did a show yesterday. Oh, yeah.
And I was here. So people knew I was here. I'm allowed to be here.
Are you?
I think so. Right?
I don't know if I'm allowed to leave state lines. How cool would that be if I just didn't know if I could? That happened to me one time.
You do look like an inmate right now. You are dressed like an inmate.
I got a lot of gray on, including my beard.
You have all a gray sweatshirt and gray sweatpants. How early was your flight today?
It was 6:30 a.m.
Whoosh.
But I went to bed at like 8:30 last night.
Oh, dude, that's early.
That's smart. And then,
did you look for my swimsuit this morning? Because I sent you a text. I tell you, definitely sent you a text later than 8:30.
Yeah, I didn't see it till this morning, and that's
why. Thank you so much for going digging.
That's why I didn't text you this morning to find it. I mean, I brought about 40 different kinds of suits. I'm sure you can mix and match.
Yeah, I'll be fine. We just have a hot tub and a pool at this place, and so I want to.
This house is awesome.
I know it's pretty rad. I'm doing an Airbnb in the Hollywood Hills. I mean, actually, it's not the Hollywood Hills. It's like the Sherman Oaks Hills, but pretty sweet out here. And it's pretty quiet up in these hills. And you go down about a mile and a half, and then boom, you're in the valley. You're on Ventura Boulevard. There's everything you need. I don't know. It's pretty nice. Andrew goes, this is all you need. This house is great. This is all you need.
How much do you think this is? And Andrew goes,
do you think this is a cheap house to buy? Like, he goes, this is all you would really need. Like, it's some kind of like cheap endeavor. Let's look it up on Zillow.
I'm guessing this house right here is probably 1.8.
Really?
Oh, is there a courtyard? Like, what does this house look like?
Okay, so it's 4 bedrooms, big kitchen, pool. There's one back there, one there,
study.
One here, one there. No, that study is additional. There's one beyond my bedroom.
Oh,
there's a bedroom, and then you go through a doorway, and there's another bedroom and another bathroom. It's 3 bathrooms, 4 bedrooms. Gosh, what are they doing here? No, I want to skip all this. Zillow, stop trying to get me to buy. And there is a, there's not much of a yard, but there's a nice garage.
It's over an acre.
Is there an acre down there? How do you know that?
I don't know. I think I saw it on Airbnb or something.
Oh, wow.
I searched it to see
where we were staying.
Yeah, what I was getting myself into.
Yeah. 1.8, you think? Ah, I was more right.
Yeah, what, 2.5?
It's like, well, it's not showing up on you. Oh, wait. Hold on, you might be right. Wait, no, that's Glenn, right? Didn't say where I was. Okay. It looks as if it is. Wait. There, is that it? No, that's not it. Hold on, I know this is boring. Oh, we're almost there. No. Hold on, I really want to figure this out.
Because I was in real estate for a while. I know my land and my structure.
Yeah?
I mean, it's an older house. The windows are older.
There's a bug in my mouth.
There's a bug in your mouth. The floors are nice.
Yeah?
The foyer is solid. Washer and dryer. Water.
Okay, we're looking around in this area. We're looking at around 1.7.
Okay, dude, I was right on.
That is so good.
Wow, Andrew.
That is amazing, Andrew.
But still, like, this house anywhere else in the world, this size would be like a $450,000 house.
You got to put 20% down on a house?
Yeah. So you're looking at 300.
God, what are these gnats flying around?
$360,000 you'd have to throw down.
that's the thing. I was talking to someone about buying property, and they're like, we were talking about, like, everyone goes, it's a great financial decision. And then it's like the kid thing. Everyone wants you to buy a house because they bought a house and now they're in hell with their house that they have to upkeep. And they want you to buy one too. The only people that tell you to buy a house are people that are also homeowners. It's never from someone who's renting that's like, it's always other people that have done it. It's such a great investment. I get it, but like, what is the most money I'm going to make on a house like this if I sell it? Let's say in 5 years, what is the most this house is going to make me? $200,000. I don't like if you already are rich enough to afford $1.8 million house. $200,000 is not that big of a deal, and I just don't. With all the work that would go into keeping a house going is going to cost at least $200,000. When if I lived in a condo or like a place, I don't know. And I know the alternative is like less space and all these things, but I just don't.
Well, not to mention
20% down, you had to put down $360,000 to say goodbye to. That's a fuck ton of money. Who has that laying around? Like, why is that better than just paying rent every month? I don't get it. Because you're investing in the thing that you already own. I know, but I
not to mention like it doesn't always go up. You know what I mean? Like, I bought that condo for $220,000. And it was worth $60,000 6 months later.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was in real estate. Talk about a good investment. You know, just smart. Just really understanding the trends.
Have you ever made a good investment?
No. I'm here.
Your golf clubs.
Huh?
Your golf clubs.
No, I keep trading in instead of... the only investment I made that was good is my buddy hooked me up with a watch for a little bit cheaper. This Panerai watch, I bought it for like $3,200. Then I lost all my money. My car got repoed. I lost my house. And I brought the watch back in just to have enough cash to like buy some double stacks from Wendy's.
Yeah.
And I got
$3,800. So I made $600.
Yeah, a little turnaround.
Oh, Noah, have you ever like flipped something and made more off of the thing that you bought? I'm just not a person that does that. I think everything I leave is worse than when I bought it. Because I have spray tan and I get it on everything.
You have to follow the campsite rule.
Yes, leave it. Which leave your food in the trees.
I mean, so why not look at like other kind of investments for you? You know, like Silicon Valley. Like I'm sure people, they don't approach your manager.
I think it's Silicon Valley.
Huh?
I think it's Silicon Valley.
No, he's thinking of silicone.
I used to get those confused like I do with take it for granted and take it for granted. But it's silicon. But why are those words so close together?
Also,
it's in California where people do get a lot of silicone in them. So
exactly.
It makes sense to get that confused. But yeah, I took a I got a stock tip from a camera op the other day, or a sound guy.
This is how every good stock.
But here's the thing: it's a stock tip that of something that I actually buy and
believe
in.
Okay, what was the tip?
I'm not telling.
Well, why don't you invest in it? Then you promote it. Then it goes up, and then you only do 10 years in jail. But boy, will that be a fun ride!
Oh, is that what you can't do?
It's called insider trading, but I don't think that's
No, insider trading is when you get a tip from someone that works at the company about it going
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
You advertising the thing that you have investments in would seem like that's what everyone does.
Yeah, they do.
So that's not insider trading.
No.
That's Silicon Valley.
Yeah, Silicon Valley, you're fine. Silicon, whew.
I remember when Oprah apparently, because you're not supposed to tell people that have Nielsen ratings boxes that they should watch your TV show, because that's like, those are where your TV ratings are made, with these people with these Nielsen ratings boxes. So when you watch a TV show on your screen, it doesn't affect ratings. It's only people that have Nielsen. And she, I guess, made a statement of like, if you have a Nielsen box, watch this thing. And she got in trouble for it because you're not supposed to do that, because it's like the insider trading of, or it's like the, I don't know. But you should be able to do that, I think. God, I've never been asked to get a Nielsen. And I don't know anyone who's been asked to get a Nielsen box.
Did you ever, when you used to go to movies, do you remember after a movie, there would be like this back room with curtains and stuff, and they would ask you to take a survey to rate it? Did you ever have to do that?
I think you were sexually assaulted.
Yeah, this doesn't sound
behind a curtain.
That was like a 90s thing. No?
No.
So rated behind a curtain? I've never heard of that.
There was like a room, and they would give you a survey about what you thought about the movie.
Was there an old couch you sat on, Noah?
With a single camera?
And they gave you a lollipop?
Put your hair in.
I think there was candy involved.
Yeah, they're probably. I mean, the things people will do for a free T-shirt or free anything.
Oh, my God.
A free yo-yo. I was talking about your yo-yoing.
Yeah, yo-yo ma.
Did you yo-yoed as a child, right?
I yo-yoed a little bit. I went through, I think any kid that was born in the early 80s, or 80 for that matter, yo-yoed and had a yo-yo stage, probably around 8 or 9, mm-hmm. where you tried to walk the dog, you tried to do around the world, you tried mm-hmm. to hang your mom, you know, all the
your
different.
Mom, the old trick, the yo-yo trick.
You know, all the old ones.
Yeah.
And I did Around the World earlier. I broke it out in Starbucks today, and people lost their mind. If you want to see a strong reaction from people, break out a yo-yo where a yo-yo should not
be yo-yo. Were you a little nervous? You get nervous when I pick up dog shit with mulch
mm-hmm.
or with my hands or whatever, and then you want to run away. I would be so embarrassed to be with a guy who's yo-yoing. I would be embarrassed to be alone in a Starbucks and start yo-yoing. Were you nervous at all that people were going to think you were...
Well, part of me was going to do it when I was walking out just so you would laugh. And then I just did one little yo-yo.
To practice, to warm up?
Yeah. And this guy was like, yo-yo? He goes, what? Oh, is that a yo-yo? Like, he was like, what the fuck? It was like the brick the other day at the airport.
Yeah, I talked about that.
Did you tell that story?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so anyways,
What did they say to you when you're taking the brick through TSA?
I mean, the look on the guy's face, he thought I was bringing in a dead raccoon or something. Like something
really
like
it as much.
Huh?
It was as worthless as that. They could have engraved a dead raccoon and I would have been like, "Thanks." Well, it's so weird when you get a gift that you're just like, okay, God, I don't know. Now I have to like pretend like I'm going to take this with me. I mean, it actually would have been cool because it was a really fun night. And but eventually that's just going to be a thing that someone has to clean out of my house when I'm dead and goes, should we keep this? And like, no, it's just like.
Yeah, but why is a brick any like if they gave you a heavy trophy, could I have brought that? Like, what are we doing here? Like, why are
we not? I don't
want
anything anymore.
Huh?
I don't want anything
no,
anymore.
No, you don't want anything. I'm saying
Swift.
The TSA not allowing me
not allowing, yeah.
to bring a brick when I can kill a man with a pen.
I
like,
know.
What are we doing?
Or a yo-yo, for that matter.
Well, yeah, that's another trick.
The old
terrorist.
Yeah. The old shoe bomb trick.
The old string of terrorists by the plane wheel. Trick.
Yeah. Are you good at any other old-timey toys?
I mean, I was pretty good at Tetris back in the day.
Tetris is so fun. The other day, that was so funny when we were loading into an Uber and we had a bunch of luggage and the Uber driver was helping put the luggage in the back seat. And he was like, oh, you know, Andrew was commenting on this guy, putting it in.
Putting the bags in.
He goes, you're good at that. That's like Jenga. And he goes, Tetris. He corrected him. And he goes, and then we got in the car and then we were just like, driving to the hotel. The guy was laughing at stuff. Andrew, what were we talking about that was making that? He was laughing so hard at what you were saying.
I said something, I think, against women, which I think the more misogynistic it was, the more he was laughing.
Yeah, like you were making jokes ironically and he was like truly thinking it was like, you know, that's always a weird laugh when you're like, no.
Yeah, and then you hit her and he's like, how do you hit her? Yes. What do you mean? Like, How are you hitting your women? No.
I was talking yesterday about my mascara was like running down my face. I was with Whitney Cummings, and we were doing a shoot thing, mm-hmm. and she was like, "Babe, your mascara is like running down." I go, "Thank you so much." I was like, "Andrew," because we were talking about you actually when we were filming this. I go, "Andrew, never like sometimes I'll get done with a thing and I'm like, I look like mascara's running down my face. You couldn't have been like, hey, there's just like a little something there. It will be like down to my chin." And I'm like, how did you just let me look like that? And she goes, because men like us to look like we have black eyes or something like that. It made me laugh.
Or like you were just crying.
Yes.
Yeah, or like choking on a penis. Yeah.
All right, we'll keep going.
Yeah, that's about it.
But then when we got out of the
Uber. No, I'm just talking about a yo-yo move. Trick. You gotta add trick on the end.
Wait, you gotta show us around the world. Can you stand up and do it? Do you have the yo-yo on
it's
you?
In the room.
It's in your yo-yo room. room.
Someone goes, is that a yo-yo? I go, yeah, yeah.
Jenga. But then we got out of the car and Andrew killed me. He was just like, because the guy was laughing, everyone was laughing. He goes, thanks for the ride. Jenga. Oh my God.
The guy probably whispered to himself, Tetris.
Oh my
Tetris.
God. There is a grasshopper humping a bird of paradise.
Wait, what?
Flower.
Oh.
Just like Noah used to play
Doesn't
dogs.
Does this plant look like birds?
Wait, what?
This plant right here looks
like. It looks like birds. That's why they're called birds of paradise.
Oh, that is.
That's a bird of paradise.
It's silicone.
Because it looks like a bird. But there is a legit grasshopper humping a bird of paradise. It's just going, Oh,
I see it now.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
It's how you have the best eyes ever.
I haven't seen a grasshopper in a while.
I know. It's really going at it, too. Oh, it's so beautiful. I feel like, they're going to be extinct soon. I'm going to film it.
What, grasshoppers?
Oh, my God. It is going
to
town.
No, I think grasshoppers have probably made it through things humans haven't made it through. They're insects.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, never mind. But insects are dying off. We have like no more bees. Dude, I read a Reddit thing last night that I do not even want to get into about what's going to happen to the world. Oh, it's not good, you guys. It's not good.
Hey, but we're in LA.
But everything's fine right now. Enjoy it while it's the way it is now, because we're about to get hit by storms that only are supposed to come once every 1,000 years, and they're going to hit us once every 2. And we're not prepared for it.
It's going to go from one every 1,000 to one every 2. There's not even like one every like 20.
I'm not kidding you. Storms that were only supposed to be these cataclysmic, like once in every, eon. Storm events will now be happening once every 2 years. By the time it's 2050, refugee crisis in Syria was about 1 million refugees, and there's about to be like 50 million.
Seriously?
And we don't have any room for them. And so just truly enjoy today while you have it, because it is about, don't fear the future, because there's nothing you can do to change it. It's unless they invent some CO2 sucking machine that converts it into something, which there's no even chance that the technology is going to reach that in time.
You could call my ex-wife.
There is. You're killing it today.
Thanks, Val.
You're on fire, dude. Just like the world's about to be. I mean, there are going to be constant fires all the time. Like, never-ending fires. So literally move to the center of the country as quick as you can. Stay there.
No, we buckle down and have fun.
Just enjoy Starbucks. Like, get just enjoy the world today because it's about to be weird. And, like, honestly, we have today, and that's great. And we don't even.
This is Nikki's way of getting her friends to move to St. Louis. She's like, the world will explode in L.A. and New York.
I mean, it's
move
kind of
to 46. Oh,
we're
no, I don't
running
want to say
out of water. You were about to give our address. Let's get to the news.
The news.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
All right. Look at that. Can you go around the world?
In a day. Let's see. Wait a second. I can't hold the mic while I do it.
Watch. Okay, you got to check out the YouTube video to watch Andrew Collin go around the world. He's warming up. Whoa, wow. Dude. Yes. Yes. First time.
That was beautiful.
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
First time to what?
A charm?
Third.
First time's a charm for you.
Hey. Charm life.
Oh my God. Move over a little bit. Okay, cool. Andrew, let's start the news.
Dude, that was huge. I never nail things. What's going on?
Oh my God. You're killing it today. You're killing it.
I guess I'm going to move in here. I just need another $358,000.
And then what are you going to do for your first month's mortgage payment?
I'm moving out. I'm just going to do a month here. Then ask for my money back. And you're going to go, sir, come on in to my house, and then I'm going to live with the guy at the bank. Let's see here. A woman who was – all right, this is kind of a confusing
– so why not maybe paraphrase it.
Okay, so a woman – I'm just going to – a woman who was the birthing partner for her best friend discovered to her horror that her own husband was the father after she noticed a rare birthmark on the baby's neck that was identical to his. So what happened was this girl got pregnant, right? Her friend heard that she was maybe homeless, so she, like, brought her in to help her and all this, had no idea. And then it ended up being the friend who brought her in's husband who ended up fucking 30 other women and having two other kids as
so
well.
So he was fucking homeless women? And then the woman that was having the baby,
yes.
Like, the woman that asked this woman to have her baby.
No. There was none of that. It was just straight up, like, a friend was having a baby. She was just helping
her in the delivery
process.
And then through the birthing process, she saw a birthmark on the baby that came out of the woman that she was helping.
Yes.
And it matched her husband's.
Yes.
Yes.
And her husband was getting, this woman was maybe a prostitute at one point?
I don't know about that. I just think.
But they both admitted to it eventually.
And she's friends with the woman still, but she got rid of the husband.
I'm guessing that this woman knew this woman because of the same world in which her... I mean, this is a huge coincidence, but I'm guessing it's not that big. There's an explanation of, like, this husband just... Where did he meet this woman?
They were friends.
No, maybe. Where did he meet the woman that he had sex with?
Oh, I don't know. They didn't get into that in the story.
Oh, my God. Wait, birthmarks are, like...
Hereditary, apparently. It's weird. I never even knew that.
Do you have a birthmark?
Yeah.
Where?
You don't see it? I knew a guy had a birthmark on his face. They get them on their face. The
port
whole
wine
half
stain.
Of it. Yeah, yeah. Pork wine.
Port wine.
Yeah, pork wine. Yeah, where you dip wine in porks.
Okay.
No, I have a birthmark. It looks like Texas on my back. It's just like... Very
it's weird
faint.
That we call those birthmarks, but we don't call any other blemish. Like, you're supposed to have no blemishes when you're born. Is anything on you a birthmark? Or is it just the ones that look, like, kind of faded and, like, the same, like, you know,
do you have a birthmark?
As your skin? No. Not that I know of. I think I always wanted one. Do you have one, Noah?
I don't have one. My sister has one in the shape of a star. I'm like,
whoa, what?
Bihotch. Yeah.
That's cool as fuck. What constitutes a birthmark, though? Like, honestly. Is it?
I just have melasma.
Oh. What's
skin discoloration?
Skin asthma? What is that?
That's something that women get as their hormones change, and it's like discoloration on their face.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh. And also pregnancy.
Birthmarks are caused by overgrowth of blood vessels, melanocytes, smooth muscle, fat, fibroblasts. Or keratinocytes. It's a congenital, benign irregularity on the skin, which is present at birth or appears shortly after birth. Okay. They aren't due to underlying lying disease. Okay. Well, I don't really. I always wanted one though. I always wanted something cool that was like a little bit like made me different. But
yeah, it'd be hard. Really get anything. It'd be hard for me to forgive the friend. But I guess if the friend, I don't know if the friend knew. Again, we don't know enough about the story, because if the friend knew that she was married to the guy, it would be maybe a little bit harder to wrap your head around forgiving her. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I think that women are always quick to blame the other woman as opposed to blaming the man that they're with, even if the friend is not the friend. Like, it's so, yeah, when women are like, catch a guy cheating, they always are like, that fucking slut that slept with my husband. It's like, but your husband slept, like,
right?
Like, the issue isn't other women, I don't think. I mean, I'm not saying the other women aren't like have a part to play if they know the person's in a relationship, but I don't know. I always just reason the times I've like been with guys in relationships in my life, which I have done before, not like proud of it, I'm just being honest. I just go, when I find out the guy, if he's just cheating on this girl for the first time, I don't do it. Like, cause I don't want to be the one that like breaks the seal, you know? But if he's, this is something he does on the regular, I'm just like, I just don't think they're going to last. And so I don't, I'm just like, add me to the list. I know that's not a good thing to say or admit that I do, but, I just don't, I just am like, I don't respect your relationship. And I know that she can be mad at me when this all comes out because I expect it to. I don't really ever think I'm going to get away with it. I always, in the past when I've been with guys with girlfriends, I always am like, well, I mean, she's going to find out eventually and she's going to be like probably mad at me, but like, I don't know. She should be mad at him too. And this isn't something I'm proud of I'm doing, but I don't know. There's been times where I'm like, oh my God, this guy totally wants to hook up with me. He has a girlfriend. I shouldn't do it. And then I hear like, then I check with him and he's like, oh, I cheat on her a lot. I'm like, oh, okay. Well then, is that bad? That's bad.
Is there anything with competitive wise? Like, do you?
No.
No, it's nothing with that.
No. If anything, it's like, oh, good. They can't. If I don't like them, I can always have an excuse being like, well, you have a girlfriend. So, but this is, you know, these are things I do or have done when I was feeling like low self-esteem and didn't really want to date people that were available. And so that's a great way to choose someone who's unavailable that you can convince yourself you want. And if they don't want you, you can also go, well, they have a girlfriend. They did want me, but they couldn't. It's like it's a protective thing.
That's so interesting.
Go ahead, Noah. Sorry.
That's so interesting, Nikki, because usually in a conversation, you're always thinking about the people in the relationship, but you don't think about that third person and their intentions, you know, and what they're going through and why they're participating in it.
Yeah, no one ever thinks about that. Like Taylor Swift did when she wrote Illicit Affairs and August. If you listen to the song, she actually has empathy for the other woman or the other man, whichever the way you look at it. But when I've been the other woman, it sucks because everyone thinks you're a demon and mm-hmm. All your friends who are in relationships project their fear of being cheated on onto you and they think you're a bad person. Not all of them, but there's judgment across the board. You don't understand that fucking everyone cheats, y'all. Like it's, and I'm not saying everyone, but it's very, very common. And every woman's been cheated on, right? Every woman can be like, I've been cheated on. Who's doing all the, who are the women that are doing the cheating then? Is it one skank that's just taking the just going after all their, women who have been cheated on have also been the other woman. So have a little empathy. And I'm not saying that they're, when I've done it, it's not been a great quality. I am not admitting this being like, isn't this cool that I've done this? I'm just being honest. I'm not proud of it. I don't want to do it again. But I do think that, I'm not completely just a demon. It's almost like the enemy in this situation. I think a lot of times the guy or woman that's cheating gets to play like, I was seduced. I didn't know what I was doing. Like she's a slut and she got me alone and she went after me and I couldn't resist because she's sneaky and she raped me. Like it's almost like that. And then the, you know, other woman gets to be like, or the, you know, the woman. I like how it's the woman and the other woman.
Yeah.
gets to be like the one with the asterisk thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that happened to me. Like, I hooked up with that one woman in, remember, in the bathroom where I had sex pathetically because I couldn't reach her vagina on the counter.
Yeah.
Because it was
sounds like a kid with the cookies. Like, like you were like reaching up.
Yeah, they should really have sex step stools in every bathroom. But yeah, I ended up. What happened with her? She was married, but she
didn't tell you.
No, she told me. Her friend said that she was her husband cheats. They were all drunk. She was, oh, her husband cheats. He's a piece of shit. Oh,
okay, so that justifies it as well.
It justified my behavior because I was like, whoa, he's such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Me having sex with her so pathetically will probably make their relationship better in the long run. Because my dick compared to his infidelity, it's not even close.
She'll miss him while she's in the bathroom with you. Yeah.
It'll
make her realize what she has at home.
Which is a lower
counter.
This
guy that, you know, has a bigger dick but also beats her. And, you know.
Hey, it's balance. But yeah, no, I mean, look, so it felt a little weird when she followed me on Instagram the next day. Yeah. That's when it started to feel more real.
Let me post you a scenario. What if you there's a couple and you are the other woman and you hook up with a guy and, you know, everyone makes it out to be like you're this seductive siren slut who just like love to ruin this relationship because you don't care about other women and you just are selfish. What if you find out down the road that this couple got together because she was once the other woman does she have a right to be mad? Do you think? I do believe she does. Just because one person has done wrong doesn't mean like they can't see that they can't change their ways and go, I don't want that done to me. But you know, does that change it? Like, I think a lot of people, there's been a time where I was the other woman and I felt so bad about it. And I was like, I'm the enemy here. I'm the one that, you know, I ruined this thing that they had. And like, I'm the bad guy, even though I really didn't feel that way because, you know, I knew what the situation was and I was not, but I knew that I was being looked at it that way. And then I found out they got together because she was the other woman when he was in a relationship. And so it's like, and then all of a sudden it was like, I feel like you can't be mad at me, bitch.
Yeah. And the other woman became the woman, and then you're the other woman.
Yeah. And then I would eventually be
the woman.
I was hoping to someday be the woman that got cheated on. And then I would break the cycle by being like, girl, bring it in. We all do it. This is how we all got here. Enjoy it until he cheats on you too.
Yeah. There's a whole tree of us. Of other women.
Yeah.
No, I get that. It's like, it's pretty ironic for that person or for them to think, oh, well, my relationship was different than the relationship he cheated on prior.
Yeah, because I cheated on him before he had a dog with the woman.
Yeah.
We have a dog together, though, and you should honor the fact that we have a dog. That means something. It's like, you can always justify why, like, well, I cheated because of, and I'm doing the same thing of being like, I justify it because he cheated on you with other people or whatever, but there's no justification, I guess. I just have to admit when I'm wrong, and that was wrong, and I hope to never do it again because it was just such a fucking clusterfuck. And I owe apologies, but I'm not really sorry yet. That's the thing. I'm not going to give apologies when I'm not sorry, just so I can smooth things over. That's not going to help anything. So I'm going to apologize when I feel sorry.
What's hotter than a clusterfuck? You know,
that's true. Next story.
Oh yeah, forgot we were even doing that. All right. This was wild. I don't know if you saw this. Sophia Yurista, I think it's Yurista. I mean, mm-hmm. This is actually funny that her last name is that because the singer of a rock band called.
Oh yeah, she took a piss. In
she
the guy's
peed on
face.
The guy.
This was
at
so
the show.
Punk rock. On
yeah,
a willing
not
fan's
punk rock,
face.
Is the rest of the band going
in a willing man's face? Yeah. They were all playing the saxophones, too. It was so funny to see, like, sax players in the background just kind of like, oh, this is what she does. They did not seem shocked by it, the other band members.
Yeah, you can't take a shit on someone while playing smooth jazz. You know what I mean? Like, you got to play some
She didn't take a shit. She was peeing.
No, I know. I just amplified it for a joke. But
okay,
what
got
an
it,
idiot.
Got it.
I'm an idiot.
No. I was just like, did I not watch the whole video? Did it
Was there an encore?
Yeah.
No, but like, I do think it's punk rock. I think it's awesome. I think it's like Ozzy Osbourne, like eating the bat.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. Yes. or like, you know, just people spitting on people. Like, people do crazy things at these shows and people like it. And the guy liked it. He was willing. It's not like an R. Kelly incident where the woman was peed on and didn't want it.
And she was underage, too.
Right.
I mean, this guy was of age and obviously hasn't gotten laid in a while. But do you think, or maybe he gets laid all the time. Yeah, it's a pistery.
I didn't say that. That's funny, though.
Oh, I thought you said that. Wait, so did you see, so Twitter, the band, like, completely was like, this isn't like her. Like, completely ratted her out. Like,
yeah.
We didn't know she was going to do it, like covering their tracks.
Just say this is cool and we like this.
Yes.
Like, why? Stop apologizing. You're not really sorry. And the band was not horrified. If you look at them in the background, they look like they're just watching Adele sing a ballad. Like it's nothing. There's nothing about it that makes them seem like shocked. Like, she doesn't do this.
I can't believe it. She would never do that. Meanwhile,
I thought,
like,
it was cool.
Cut to 50 other things.
I mean, I didn't want to watch it because it made me sick. Whenever I witness pee stuff in porn, there's a lot of it, especially mixed in with the things that they think I'm into. I'm not into that.
Like jazz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what is a perfect... I mean, I would say if you're going to pee on someone, Guns N' Roses, something like that, you know, would be dope. But do we have
they
a
were
double
covering
standard?
Rage Against... They were covering Rage Against the Machine.
That's right.
Do we have a double standard, though, for women peeing on... Like, because there's a power dynamic there with the fan. Like, that's what people are going to be saying. You know what I mean? Is it
like
because...
Like, if a man did that to a woman, we would cancel her?
Cancel him? Because it's a power thing.
Right.
It's like you're taking advantage of having the power at the show.
It depends on how happy the girl is underneath his pee stream. And that guy was so happy, splish splashing around like it was a kid
like a
in
fish
a water
out of water.
Yeah, yeah, he was loving it.
Well, fish out of water that was happy to die, I guess. Yeah. Doesn't work there. But yeah. Yeah, no, I guess so. Yeah, I think it does depend on. But then that's what people do. They'll go, well, she consented, but she didn't really want. You know what I mean? Like, they think that they know for her or
yeah.
for him.
Yes.
It's like, he was in a trance. You know,
right?
At what point is, you know, I don't know. I think it's great. I kind of want to get pissed on. Would be pretty dope.
What, really?
Yeah, by a guy playing cello or something.
No. Do you want to be peed on?
Oh, like for real, for real?
Yeah. Would you ever be into Brenna peeing on your face?
I think it would be cool in the shower because your boy doesn't like to do laundry.
But like, what about touching like your mouth, like licking pee?
I don't know if I want her to pee on my mouth, but if she peed
on...
No,
the fact that you don't know equals you'd be down for it. Like, you are either a hard no or a...
I'm not a hard no.
That is crazy!
Is it? Is it?
Yes!
I love her.
Pee,
she
pees taste so gross.
No, she doesn't have to pee in my mouth, but I'm saying if she peed on my chest...
But the fact that you go... Yeah, well, that's different. Mouth is the thing that I'm okay. I'll take some pee anywhere. If you're into... Whatever. I don't want to be pissed on, but if some guy really wanted that, I'm down. But I don't want it in my mouth.
Wait, some guy
yet.
Or
like a special man?
a special guy.
You know, there are certain things that like I would do that I don't, that, you know, there are certain things that I would do if I get horny enough. Like that's the thing. Like, I don't know that I want to, I would never do it when I'm just sitting here like caffeinated, clothed, you know, doing a podcast. The idea of like, tasting a guy's pee makes me sick to think about, and I would sign off on like never doing it. But if I got horny enough equals drunk enough, because it's the same kind of state, I would do anything. I mean, I've done heinous things that I would never have. Yes, heinous without the H. I would never do. And yeah, I don't believe it's a two-way street either. I don't believe like, well, I licked your pee, then you have to lick mine. Like, some people are into things and some people are not. I just think it's very weird when you know, like, I'm into a guy I'm with hooking up with other women if he wants and telling me about it in full detail. I'm into that. And people go, well, then, so the guy is to be okay with you doing it? It's like, no. Why can't people like different things? And it doesn't have to be eye for an eye. I think that's such a weird, insecure American thing of like, well, if you get to do that, I have to do it. And it's like, it has to be even and fair. And it's like, I don't know. To me, it doesn't have to be that way. So if you want to, you know.
Pee on Nikki.
Yeah.
Just come on over around 4.
No. Oh, only someone I love. And if I get horny enough, I will allow it.
Well, or come to our show and get a pee and greet.
And you'll be in the background play yo-yoing.
Yo-yo ma.
Okay, let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break and come up back with Why Do I Care?
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why do I care?
Why do I care?
All right. It's finally been addressed. I know you've been waiting on pins and needles, Nick. Bradley Cooper addresses the Lady Gaga romance rumors from their performance of Shallow.
Give me a break. I don't believe anything.
I know. I knew you wouldn't. But he said that it's for dramatic effect, that they were definitely acting, that it allowed him to be more in tune into the song, where he would be more inclined to not worry about his voice. Because he was worried about how he sounds singing. So he thought if it was more of like a play kind of style, that he would sing better.
And this is the Academy Awards they're talking about?
Yeah.
Oscars.
Why didn't he just say that then? Because then he would have to admit that he was insecure about his voice.
Or also, yeah, they were selling a movie, so what's better than rumors about them dating?
And now the movie's already...
Yeah, now it's to Blu-ray.
Yeah, everyone said that it was a press thing, but I'm sorry. I would still bet everything I have on the fact that those two hooked up. Everything. They can say whatever they want. I'm not going to believe it. I think it's just, you know, convenient to say it was a press move. It's embarrassing to say that. But I don't think they're even saying that. He's saying that he was insecure about his voice. He's being a sweet, humble guy.
Yeah, my voice.
Oh, he was just being... That's why he nearly made out with Lady Gaga in front of his pregnant girlfriend at the Oscars. Because he was just feeling insecure. And isn't that brave of him? I don't like it. And I think it's bullshit. I think they were definitely banging.
I think it was Lady Gaga's fault. The other woman.
Oh,
for
right.
Singing
yeah.
Too,
how dare she?
Too sirenly.
Yeah, that's what I think. A lot of people did come after her for that, being like, how could she do that in front? And it's just like, well, he did it too.
Also, they're acting. They're actors.
No, I mean,
why
they were
is it different
acting,
on a stage than in front of a camera with 30 other people
because
in the
room?
Because
they were introduced as Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. They weren't introduced as these
two characters that exactly were playing pretty much that.
Yeah, and that's why I say about Taylor Swift singing at SNL, she seemed so angry, but she was just, that was a performance. And these lyrics that everyone's getting
so mad
about.
Yeah, but under your thoughts, then she was actually really angry. If you thought Bradley and Lady Gaga actually really hooked
up. Like as I said, it's not across the board always the same. I think that she was maybe could pull from an anger in her life or in a past experience, but they can say whatever they want to about the performance. I definitely think they got down. Like, it's just without question to me. I don't believe two people can have that kind of performance and chemistry on screen and be that obsessed with each other and say there are 100 people in the room and one believes in you. That person is Bradley. That and him sit and stare at her the 100 times she said that. God, that compilation is hilarious.
Here, let's play. I'll be Bradley Cooper from the movie and you be Lady Gaga.
What do you mean?
Hey. Sorry, I'm drunk again.
I'm sorry, I'm so ugly, and that's why I'll never be famous, is I'm so ugly.
Listen here, kid, you're not that ugly.
But look at my nose.
It
no
is
one
bad.
Likes my...
It is bad, you're right.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But hey, if I could put a dress on you and change around some auto-tune,
you could be
a star.
Do you mind if I sing you the song, and then you come out and sing it with me 2 days later, even though we haven't worked on it at all, and we've also written 14 new verses that neither of us have taken the time to memorize, but somehow we both know them? Will that be a cool thing to do?
Well, let me hear the song.
But I'm nervous to walk out on stage and sing. No, 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 don't bring me. Don't bring me out, Bradley. Don't.
Come on.
I'm so scared.
Don't worry.
Okay, I will. I'm off the deep end. I know all these words. And I've been prepared for this moment for a while.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. Actually, you know what?
Listen, I'm not going to go with you on the road. We had a great night.
Come on.
And it was amazing, but I can't go. I got stuff to do here. Oh, I went into work and my boss said one thing and now I'm like already ready to go?
Yeah.
That was the dumbest scene.
I got combos though in the bus. Pepperoni flavor.
And you know what? I
want
to marry you, even though Dave Chappelle pulled you out of a ditch
earlier
in the day.
Uh-huh,
and
I was
you're
sleeping.
A guttural alcoholic.
Yeah, I was resting.
I definitely think this is a good decision to get married to you, even though you took a little fucking twisty tie off a bread bag and used it to propose to me in front of Dave Chappelle's kids. And
wasn't that silly?
I think this is a great decision, and you're definitely not going to kill yourself and piss your pants at the award ceremony that we go to together.
Oh, that'd be
embarrassing.
Spoiler
alert. All right.
I'll see you at the Grammys.
No, you won't.
I'll be dead.
They still have them in hell. All right. Let's get to Wednesday's Wild Card segment, the blankest thing. All right. It's the blankest thing you've ever done. What's the blank today, Noah?
The blankest is the most dangerousest thing.
The most dangerousest thing you've ever done.
How she Andrew's said it suggestion. Sounded like a dangerous cyst. Like what was the most dangerous tumor you had? Didn't it sound like that? I had
oh,
a
yeah,
cyst.
Dangerous cyst. Yeah,
actually,
this is,
that's
we're only talking
whole,
about cysts today.
That's a good one.
I had a cyst that almost killed me.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Stepsis. No, I'm just kidding. No. Sepsis. Okay, no. Okay, we're having fun. No, I had a cyst in my nose that I took a needle to it because I thought it was like a pimple, and I didn't.
You didn't burn the needle. You didn't sanitize the needle, and so it got infected.
Dude, I woke up 2 hours later, and my eye.
In your brain.
I had green pus coming out of my eye, and I couldn't open my eye, and I was like.
Dude, that's the most dangerous thing you've ever done.
Well, because my brain is right. It goes right to your brain. You're dead. You're dead.
Your brain is somewhere in there.
It's somewhere in there. Luckily, mine's in the way back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That says,
your brain is not Rosa Parks. It is in the back.
Yeah, it is in the back, and that's where it wants to be. I. But then the doctor had to, he tried to squeeze it out.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And then
he gave
me antibiotics, but I just got drunk on them, so they didn't work. I didn't even take them. And then the infection came back. And then he had to cut.
It is a miracle you're alive. Most dangerous thing you've ever done is just be.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you've made
yeah.
So you should be dead so many times.
Oh, the guy had to cut. He didn't even put me under. He cut into my eye. I could hear the smoke or smell the smoke of my skin while he was burnt cutting.
He was smoking while he did it.
Yeah, he made a nice.
He went to an urgent care in Tampa.
Anyhow, he had to cut it out, and I saw it. It was fucking wild.
Gross.
I was like, dude, why? But isn't it weird, like, when you find things in your body, it's like, I must have other ones around.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm dying to hear what the most dangerous thing you've ever done is, where you've been like, oh, my God, I definitely could have died. I think it's...
Why? What's the most dangerous thing? You don't really step out of your comfort zone.
My first word was dangerous, and I would point at things that were dangerous because I was so scared of dying, and, like... I was so scared of everything. So, yeah, I'm not someone who has lived on the edge at all.
But you drive like a badass.
Yes. I would say the most dangerous thing I've ever done is...
Just driving to Starbucks this morning with you.
Yeah.
Down a hill.
Probably a good,
down a windy
a
hill.
No,
what's the most dangerous thing you ever did? You think?
I think probably like being in a car with someone who's drunk. You know, like thinking it was okay to get in. Probably as a kid driving... Being put into the back seat when my parents were driving home from a party that we were like, you know, already asleep on this person's couch. And I just let my parents drive. Yeah, it was probably, you know, the many times in my youth that I got into a car with a drunk driver. I think that was probably it.
But
you know,
you've never jumped out of a plane. Nothing like in those
that's
lines.
That's not actually dangerous, though.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, I jumped into the water when there were a bunch of sharks in it, and
oh yeah,
the only thing that made me go, you know, should I do this? Was I asked the people that were, you know, working on the yacht we were on, Yacht Brag, that I was like, is it okay to swim with them? And they were like, yeah, and I just like jumped in, and everyone was like, Nicky! And I was like, I don't subscribe to fears that. Everyone irrational fears like that I know that are like on paper very scary, but I just know that sharks are more scared of you than you are of, like, I don't know, it wasn't actually that risky, but I guess to, you know, someone just watching, it was probably pretty dangerous. What about you, Andrew?
I don't know, man, probably when I snorted OxyContin with a guy that I used to hang out with, the Trumps.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's probably not smart.
When was this? Why
well, he said it
heard?
Was a regular painkiller, and then I found out later it was Oxy when I woke up in my car, and the car was probably about 120 degrees in there. It was in Florida, and I woke up to a cop because I bought that Mercedes. I had tinted windows, and he didn't know anyone was in there. He was just looking at the car
because
I decided to sleep across the street from a police station.
Oh my God.
And I rolled down the window. For some reason, I was like, hey, what's up?
Oh my God.
I was sweating. So, like, I could have died. Like, I should have died that night in that car. You know what I mean? Like those are the days I miss. Oh my God. I miss that car, that AMG Mercedes. Oh, I would die to be in it.
That is, it's so wait. Did you almost die of an overdose, do you think? Like, you don't remember how you got there? You don't remember anything about it?
Yeah, I think I would have overdosed not only on the OxyContin, but on
like
the
dying
heat.
Of the heat.
Yeah, like a dog dying in a car.
Oh, my God. And I bet you were wearing sweatshirts, and, like, you just are – you don't ever disrobe when you're hot. You just are like, it's hot. And I'm like, you have 18 layers on. Take one off, bud.
Dude, I had some hangovers. I don't know if you remember your worst hangovers. Oh, but I was like, this is death. This is – I'm dying today.
Well, that's
today's
why I
the
quit.
Death day.
I was like, I don't, this is how you feel when you're dying. I have no doubt about it. Like, this is the way it must feel when you're about to die, because I wanted to die. Like, it was just so bad. And I remember being like, I did this to myself. The only reason I don't want to feel this way until I'm dying. And so I'm never going to do this to myself again. And it was, that was a realization I had, was this feels like I'm dying. And no one should feel this way unless they're dying. And I did this to my 27-year-old self, and it was just like, you know, lying in a puddle on in my shower, trying to get it together enough, my screaming headache, just nauseous. I felt like, you know, what you see in movies when someone's going through like chemo. And I was just like, no, no more. So I think just drinking, having unprotected sex, drinking and like getting into cars with people who were drunk, getting into an Uber that getting into Ubers that aren't my own, getting rides from people that I don't even know if they have a license. And I think one of the most dangerous things was I went on a sailboat once in the San Francisco Bay. On my parents made us do it with their friend, and it was the worst conditions that this guy's ever sailed in. And we almost capsized like a million times, and it was fucking terrifying. And we got off, and everyone was shaking when we got off. You know when someone is an expert and even they're scared, and
yeah,
you go, oh fuck. It's like when you look at the flight attendant and when they look scared, you're like, this is when I should worry. It was that. So a lot of it is just trusting my parents and not having autonomy as a child, and thus being thrust into dangerous experiences, because I don't like the outdoors for a good reason. I've been very traumatized by it. My mother and sister almost died in a canoe accident that I witnessed and had no way of helping because, you know, they capsized and my sister was being sucked under. We were just screaming. What?
You couldn't ruin your spray tan.
Yeah, you know how it is. Like, you got to wait 8 hours before it, like, sets in, and I'm not going to look bad at their funeral. A spray tan looks so good with, a whole black outfit. So,
okay,
yeah,
how,
I was thinking ahead.
If there's a stranger dying in a pool and you just sprayed, like,
give me
a
break. I would not help a stranger drowning. It's like, even if I didn't have it, no, of course, I don't think about that kind of stuff. When I don't like to see car wrecks or things like that.
I mean, who does?
Oh, I know, but like, I would just rather someone else deal with it. I don't want to deal with dead bodies and like gore and stuff. And so I,
it is interesting. Like, once you pay for something, like, let's say that sailboat ride, or like, I did this like cave like tour in Budapest, which I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but if I knew, but once you pay, you're like, well, I guess I got to do, put my life on the line. Guess I got to go. I remember I did, parasailing. I got to tell you, the guy in the Bahamas, the latch didn't even close. The guy looked so high, and the boat was like a canoe where the guy just paddled hard. And he's just like, nah, hey, you fun, man. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to like.
I think the most dangerous thing is trusting the like regulations in countries where you know that those things aren't regulated. Like when I land in Cancun and they're like, we hired a driver to drive you an hour and a half to Tulum. I don't know that driver is not drunk, or like trusting other people with your life, especially drivers, which isn't as like regulated as, you know, pilots are. You just have to have a license. You don't have to prove that you're not drunk or anything like that. I think that's been the riskiest thing. What's been the most dangerous thing you've ever done, Noah?
Well, it's very similar to yours. I used to go drinking with my friends in like Lower East Side. And if you lived in New York City and a friend of yours had a car, it was like the best thing ever because you can get a ride home. So we would go drinking, and I had this one friend who would always, like, he would never sleep unless it was at a red light or a stop sign.
Oh my God.
Wait, time out. He never slept ever unless.
He was just a workaholic, and he said that he'll sleep when he's dead. He was like one of those like attitudes. And he would drive all of us home, and I would willingly get in the car with him knowing, oh, he's going to fall asleep at the red light, so I just have to hit him on the shoulder when the light turns green.
Whoa.
And one time.
Yeah, that was. Okay, keep going.
Oh, wait, what happened?
One time we were driving home from seeing a band play, and we were about to enter a tunnel, and all of a sudden I see his head go down.
Oh.
And at the entrance of the tunnel, it curved. So thank goodness I was paying attention, because I go, friend's name, wake up.
Yes.
And he just like gets back on the wheel and just drives like nothing happened.
He's like, I'm good for another 6 months now.
Thing, when you wake up people.
He's like, all right, I'm let's get back to work.
You're not wrong, Andrew.
But when you wake someone up from sleeping like that, they can go, they can jerk you, and then it can cause, that's a lot of what happens is, he was so used to it, oh my God. Yeah, I think that reminds me of a lot of times. I was in South Korea performing for the troops there, and we had this driver who would drive so freaking fast, and he would also be very, I could tell that he was also sleeping. Whenever we were showed up to a place, he would fall asleep right away. So I'm like, I know this guy's underslept. And then the whole time, I couldn't sleep on the bus because I'm so worried about this guy falling asleep and trying to talk to him and keep him awake. He would watch porn when we would come back.
The bus driver?
Yeah, it was crazy. I kind of loved him, but he was insane. But people, I really fear drivers when I get into towns and they're like, this guy will come pick you up. It's like, how do you know he's not going to... When we had that 80-year-old man come pick us up, Andrew...
He was sleeping. He was sleeping a lot.
I was so worried about him falling asleep.
Or he was dying. He could have been dying.
Right. Andrew was chewing his eyes so loud, I was like, okay, good, this will keep him up. And then I put up my white noise, and I went to sleep.
Yeah, I did talk to the guy. He actually was a nice gentleman. He had a bow tie. I was like, I figure he could tie a bow tie. He'll live at least another week.
Final thought. I actually have a birthday book. Have you ever seen this? The Secret Language of Birthdays. This was a book. It's propping up my computer. I'm going to pull it off right now. Okay. Dropping down. It's this book that everyone had in the 90s, The Secret Language of Birthdays.
Oh.
And then you look up your birthday and it tells you a lot about you or whatever. Andrew?
Does it do it by year or just date?
Just, just the first.
Okay. April 18th.
Okay. Let's go to April 18th.
Same with Conan O'Brien.
Yep. Okay. This was published in the 90s, so they're probably not going to have Conan. Born on this day, Polish prime minister, lawyer for the Scopes trial.
Yes.
God, there's a bunch of nobody. James Woods, Eric Roberts. That's Julia Roberts' brother. It's pretty cool. And some other people. Okay. Those born on April 18th are vigorous defenders of the faith. They are protectors not only of their own interests, but of those of the less fortunate as well.
Man, this book must have sold not well.
I mean, this ain't you,
that doesn't
dude.
Sound like Andrew,
is there anything
really?
About a lisp or weird thumbs?
Those born on this day are often known as progressive thinkers who fight for their beliefs. Yet they are not radicals. At heart, they are traditionalists who wish to apply their experience and thorough knowledge of what has gone before to the present situation. Mental balance should be the utmost concern to April 18th people. Since their strengths lie in the areas of forcefulness, will, and imagination rather than reason, their willingness to submit to a rigorous mental training of some kind is essential.
Man, this
one. These are your strengths. You're honorable. Vigorous. Vigorous was the word that me and Kirsten used to instead of hand jobs. We'd call it vigorous because we were so we could talk about it in front of our parents and be like, did they vigorous?
I mean, I think they could tell with the hand motion.
And fair.
They'll never know.
They thought we were
vigorous.
That we were shaking a cocktail. Honorable,
you
vigorous,
were.
And fair. Cocktail. Weaknesses are unrealistic, pugnacious. Do you know what pugnacious means?
Yeah, it's when a pug is getting crazy.
It means, I know what it means if you want me to tell
what?
You. It means you're always up for a fight.
Oh, that's not Andrew.
I wasn't way off.
Emotionally unstable.
Okay, finally.
And your meditation is... Never take anything too seriously, which I think is kind of a thing you live by.
Yeah, silicone.
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 You really don't
Silicon
think anything
Valley.
Too seriously. Okay, let's get to
June 1st.
I think I saw someone else was born on that day. I don't know where I looked. Or
the
where
day
I...
of the popular eye. Marilyn Monroe, Joe Brigham Young.
Wait,
Freeman.
Did you just say Joe DiMaggio?
No, it says married to Joe DiMaggio is one of her... things about her. What? Andy Griffith. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Okay.
Amy Schumer.
Strengths: visually perceptive, shrewd, fun.
Two of
these
those.
Are like. Shrewd. What does shrewd mean? I don't even know. It means I'm like.
Yeah, shrewd. It sounds like rude, and it's so.
When you say it. Weaknesses: temperamental, ding 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 ding, distracted, ding 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 ding, impatient.
Sure, it sounds like rude when I say
ding,
it. It's
ding,
so
ding,
funny,
ding,
dude.
Ding ding ding. Impatient is one of my weaknesses. Okay. Meditation is living is a creative act.
Let me hear your first line, though.
June 1st people can be usually found either in the public eye or observing the latest modes and trends of society. Either way, they are taken up with seeing or being seen in a social context. Those born on this day may display an interest in history, but usually for how it sheds light on the present. Indeed, they bring all their powers to bear on what is most up to date, dressing, talking, reading, studying the state of art in various fields.
That's closer.
It does not mean we're overly social beings. They may appear extroverted, in rare cases exhibitionistic, but such an external attitude often masks a personality that is isolated and lonely.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Did you write that?
I mean...
That was really... Whoa.
Oh, whoa. Both men and women born on this date are rarely without a mate. Oh, I thought it said rarely with a mate. Rarely without a mate because they hate to be alone. I mean, this is me. To avoid loneliness, some June 1st people will live with 41-year-old single men.
Whoa.
June 1st people throw themselves into social activities and amass a whole bevy of friends and acquaintances. Rarely will June 1st people admit to ignorance. They pride themselves on knowing a good deal about a wide variety of subjects.
One for June 1st. That's really nailing you, dude.
In an area they are most obsessed with, they go to great lengths to amass an impressive body of information.
Two chapters.
Yeah, no, two chapters or Taylor Swift. Like, I know everything. The subject of study need not be academic. It could range from sports figures to comic books. Okay. Advice, try to forget society's values for a while and what is expected of you. Have the courage to be yourself at a deep level and like yourself for what you are. Oh my God. Discover your strengths and exercise them in spite of opposition. Self-worth supersedes all else. Well, from this book to my fucking lonely soul, I wish. I'm working on it, but this was a fun show today.
Yeah, so fun.
I love it.
We're so LA.
We're so LA, just like getting into astrology and books and
and caterpillars
and yo-yos.
Yo-yos.
Thank you so much for listening today. We gotta go. Don't be cuh, and we'll be back tomorrow. And Jack
and Diane. Reacher.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.